getting the foundation established. Does anybody know what the six foundations of Christianity of our belief is?
Baptist, wait, it's probably.
It's not on the first page, no.
laying out of hands, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Resurrection of the dead. What you looking at, Joe?
He took good notes.
Okay. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your presence, for your word, for what you've established for us, foundational truths, Lord, that we can build upon. For you are the rock that cannot be moved. And we build upon that as wise builders in Jesus' name. Let's look at Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Oh, it was there. From dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. This we will do if God permits. The Apostle Paul here is introducing a concept to the newly formed Christian church in Jerusalem. When you read Hebrews, we have to understand the context in which it was written. Okay, it wasn't written to Gentiles, like Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians and Thessalonians. This is written to the Jewish, the Hebrew family, the newly born again Christians in Jerusalem. So that's why Paul addresses specific things which we are going to address as well and to understand. So Paul is introducing a concept to a newly formed Christian church in Jerusalem. One important thing to remember when reading and studying the epistle written to the Hebrews, that it was written to the converted Jews who were working at moving as best they could to live in this new way beyond the bounds of their own Jewish traditions and customs. These things are especially important for us to understand, and we shall look deeper at this in another study. But think about this. Until this time, you know, 2,000 years, the Jews had one way. They had the Torah, the Old Testament writings, their traditions, their customs. For 2,000 years, that's what they lived. So to come in and stir all that up, change it all about, now we got a different way. It was hard, especially because of the leaders, the Jewish leadership, which didn't accept this. So the pressure was to stay in Judaism. In Hebrews chapter 6, we see it open with the words, therefore. It would mean considering what has been said. So, let's look at what was said previously to get the context of this passage of Scripture. So we'll pick up the narrative in, that should be chapter 5, Hebrews 5, 5. And I have it here in the New Living Translation. That is why Christ did not honor himself by assuming he could become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, "You are my son. Today have I become your father." And in another passage, God said to him, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears unto the one who could rescue him from death and God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God designated him to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. There is much more we could would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies. Boy, is he ever getting on their case. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Now, let's go back up to the top. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, or that word means maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. This we will do if God permit. So Paul, if we put that all in context, he's saying we shouldn't have to go through these principles again. But he's telling them, you're spiritually dull. Come on. We have to move forward into maturity. As you see in verse 11, there's a change in the thought from speaking about Christ Jesus being a high priest to chastising them for their spiritual immaturity. Now, this brings us to the beginning of our main text, Hebrews 6:1, in which we see again the issue of spiritual immaturity being the focus of this writing. Let us go on to perfection. Before we go forward, let's examine this word perfection to receive better clarity. And as you can see, I've included the Greek, the Strong's and Greek definition on the word perfection. And that means the state of perfection, the state of more intelligent, moral, spiritual perfection. And then there's a related word, which is, it's from 5046, and I included that. Brought to its end, finished. Wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Perfect, that which is perfect. Consummate human integrity and virtue of men, full grown adult, full age, mature. So when he says, let's go on to perfection, I have included the word it is derived from. As you can see, it remains consistent with the message at the end of chapter 5. The focus in these verses of Scripture is moving into spiritual maturity. Again, Hebrews 6:1, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So I underline principles. Let's go down. As we look at the Scripture above, we see the word principle. It must be understood why this specific word is used here in the opening verse. Here is the Greek definition, principles. From 4102, here's the Thayer's definition, conviction of truth of anything, belief in the New Testament of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it. Conviction relating to God. The conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider, bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. Relating to Christ, a strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. The religious beliefs of Christians, belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ, springing from faith in the same. The principles, again, the definition, fidelity, faithfulness, the character of the one who can be relied on. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. Here's the same passage of Scripture from the New Living Translation of the Bible. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms and laying out of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward for further understanding. Pretty strong words, but they needed it. They especially, you know, because there were a lot of, don't see things so skewed. There were a lot of Jews when Jesus was here and preaching that believed on him. In fact, some of the disciples, we found the Messiah that the scriptures talk about. So they knew through the scriptures they found Christ, and they recognized. And some of the religious leaders like Nicodemus, and there were others that believed, but they were afraid to come out, you know, because of their position and of what may happen to them, seeing what they did to Jesus. So for us as Christians, the principles of the doctrines of Christ would be the fundamental truths in which we hold as a cornerstone of our belief in eternal life through Jesus Christ. Here we shall examine the foundational principles laid out in this verse of Scripture: repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptisms, the doctrine of laying on of hands, the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, and the doctrine of eternal judgment. So we're going to take a few minutes, and I'll get you out of here by 5. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. Okay. Okay. Love you, honey. Okay. Repentance from dead works. As we've studied before, what does repentance mean?
U-turn.
Changing the way you think. Conversion is the U-turn. You have to change the way you think before you change the way you act. And here is the definition of repentance. This is the same word for repentance when John the Baptist preached, when Jesus preached, and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." This is the same word, 33:41. A change of mind as it appears to one who repents of a purpose he has formed or of something he has done. The change. The Strong says having a change of your mind, having compunction or feeling bad for the things that you've done. Repentance from dead works means we are to have a change in the way we think towards certain things that we are doing. As we know, this was written to the converted Jews who dwelt in Jerusalem. What were the things that they were to repent from? We read in the scriptures that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Acts 14:12 says, "Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved." Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We know that the Jews held many traditions that they thought would lead them into salvation. Jesus had issues with the religious leaders because they had the truth. They had the Torah, which was the truth, the Word of God. They had it. But instead, they chose to build their religious beliefs upon the traditions of men. Observe the following passages of Scripture. Mark 7:5. "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, 'Why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?' He answered and said unto them, 'Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things you do, like things you do.' And he said unto them, 'Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition.'" He was hammering them where it hurts. Mark 7:13 says, "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many like things ye do." Matthew 15:1. "Then came to Jesus the scribes and Pharisees, which were at Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders?'" Notice what they're saying. Not transgress the word, the written word, but transgress the traditions of the elders. So they had put their traditions so high that they felt it was equal with the word of God. "For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God?'" Now Jesus, okay, is bringing them back. Why are you transgressing God's commands, which they didn't mention? And he says, "By your traditions. For God commanded, saying, 'Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death.' But you say, 'Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, "It is a gift," by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honors not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" As I said earlier, that the Jews had the truth. And here we see the address of this, John 5:39. Jesus is speaking. "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will you receive. How can you believe which receives honor of one another, and seek not that honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses," or Moses' writings, "you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Dead works represents all forms of religious acts based on old traditions and beliefs that do not represent faith that Jesus is the only way to eternal life. These religious traditions have a belief that if you follow, then you will find salvation or eternal life. Unfortunately, they have no power manifested in their forms of religious rituals to confirm that there is truth in their belief system. Remember, Jesus, how did he prove who he was? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cured illnesses. He cast out demons. And he said to them that when they were healed, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. So it was the manifestation of the power that proved that he was from God. And they, and some of them even said, nobody can do these works unless God be with them. So there was a big discrepancy amongst them. Therefore, we are encouraged to keep these deceptions that only produce death and positions us far from the pure truth that is found in God's living word as revealed. So we need to keep away from these deceptions as revealed by the Holy Spirit and not trust in the ideas of men. There's a lot of ideas of men out there. In fact, nowadays, it's getting even worse. Look at Colossians 2:16 here. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of, remember he's writing this to, you know, we're reading this and this is what he's saying this in reference to the Jewish traditions, because all of the Colossians, Thessalonians, Galatians, these were Gentiles who didn't recognize the Torah and Jewish traditions, but a lot of times the Jewish traditions were being forced on them. And so Paul is saying to the Colossians, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Hebrews 9:6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest always went into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. While as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of the Reformation. And what this is saying is that everything that God gave to Moses in the tabernacle, the sacrifice, the offerings, the Holy of Holies, was all a looking forward to when Jesus would come. All a looking forward. The Holy of Holies, you know, and as you read in other places in Hebrews, Paul said it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. It only covered them. It only pacified, but it didn't really take away their sins. But that was the program that God had signifying of the Lamb that would be slain. And then us being the temple, us being that Holy of Holies being in us. And now all of us are part of that. Colossians 2:8. says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments, or that means principles, of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, or in Christ, dwells the fullness of all the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And we talked about that, the circumcision of the heart. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And one last scripture here in this, Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, so we can say, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus said these signs would follow those who believe. He says, in my name they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is the program now. Let's skip down here. It must be recognized in the mind of each believer that through Jesus Christ, all things are new, and that because of his death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power to live resides in each one of us, not by our own form of religion, but by the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Paul writes in Romans, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And lastly, Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another and provoke one another to love and good works. So it isn't by tradition that that we find Christ. It's through this new way. A lot of people will try and make traditions, but those end up being dead works. You know, for instance, some other forms of dead works would be women can't wear slacks. Women, you know, have to have their hair up in a bun, you know.
Have their face covered.
Yeah, have veils over their faces. And see, those are all dead works. It's not, so this, when it talks about repentance from dead works, it's not talking about sinful actions. But what it's talking about is trying to find traditional ways to earn salvation. And that's what a lot of Hebrews is about. Not going back. Not trusting in the old way that didn't work. Because the old way only led to Christ. And we've seen back up a few places that the word Reformation. So when Jesus Christ rose, died, and rose from the dead, it reformed. He said to his disciples, this is the new covenant when he had the Last Supper. This is my body. This is my blood. This is a new covenant that I establish. And this isn't the place, but there are places in the Old Testament where God says, I will make a new covenant. So that is what repentance from dead works is about. And mainly in it's trying to get the Hebrews to not trust in the things that Jesus was PO'd about, the traditions of men. It only made the Sadducees, the religious people, rich. Yes?
So this was written to Jewish people.
Correct.
Who believed in Christ.
Yes.
Are they still Jews then? What do you call like a modern day Jew who
believes Messianic in Jew.
Messianic?
They're called Messianic Jews.
Do they live in Israel?
They're all over the world.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, because the Jews are all over the world.
Yeah.
So when they find Christ, they're considered a Messianic Jew. So they haven't turned their back on their Jewry. Jesus was a Jew.
Right.
You know? So it would be like a person like a Nicodemus, these men who were Jewish and they believed. The disciples, you know, they were all Jews. The 12, they were all Jews.
What's the ratio of Jewish people? Do you have any idea?
I couldn't tell you. No. It's growing.
Is it?
You know, because, you know, there's people that are continually getting the message, and the Lord is revealing himself in many ways, especially in the Middle East, you know, in Iran. You know, Jesus is, people are having visions, and Muslims all over are having, in Egypt, the Lord is giving people visions, and they can't deny Jesus is the truth. You know, so there's revivals breaking. In fact, I heard in Saudi Arabia, the church is not having to be underground anymore, which it was illegal to even have a Bible, you know, in Saudi Arabia. It was illegal to have church. It was illegal to say Jesus in public. But now, because of Donald Trump played a big part in it, but easing up on the religious tension, and the Lord is beginning to move. So China, God's moving in China. So anyway.
Isn't Donald Trump
great? Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your word. Continue to teach us by your Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.